This is KETR's Locker Room. I'm Taylor Phelps with your other hosts, Ryan Billups and Cooper Welch. Today we're going to talk a lot of draft coverage from last week, especially the Cowboys grade their picks. We'll also look at the overall draft grades of the different teams, such as the number one pick of Eric Fisher, and also the Rams did fairly well through their draft. And then we'll end the show with a lot of NBA talk. As we know, Jason Collins came out as gay, as the first active player to be gay in a major sport, in a major American sport. And we'll also look at playoffs to end the show, as we know that's a hot topic right now with all the drama going on, and the only team advancing so far is the Heat. But let's start with Cowboys. So, Cooper, Ryan, what do you guys think about the draft and what we needed and what we got?
Right. Well, first let's go over what we needed. We needed O-line, as we've talked about the last 2-3 weeks. It seems like we talked about it forever. Yeah. Talked about it for a really long time. And then we needed safety, which we covered safety. We needed a cornerback. We got a cornerback. We needed D-line, which was something we didn't address. And then maybe we needed a wide receiver or a backup running back, which is both things that we drafted. And maybe should have looked at a backup quarterback, since we don't have a real option at backup right now. So that's what we needed. Now, what we got was quite a bit different from that list that I just gave. We got Travis Frederick in the first round. He's a center from Wisconsin. Then the second round, we got Gavin Escobar, who's a tight end from San Diego State. Now, I think that one is the biggest surprise for me, getting a tight end in the second round.
Yeah.
In the third round, we got Terrence Williams, a wide receiver from Baylor. And also in the third round, we got J.J. Wilcox, a safety from Georgia Southern. Then in the fourth round, B.W. Webb, a cornerback from William & Mary. In the fifth round, Joseph Randall, a running back from Oklahoma State, who never missed a game in his college career. And then in the round six, we got Devontae Holloman, I can't really figure out what his name is, who's a linebacker from South Carolina. Now, those are not necessarily what we wanted. We didn't get any D-line help. We didn't get very much O-line help. Now, we needed another option at center, Nick Koska, or Kos, how do you say his last name?
Kosa.
Yeah. We needed Kosa as a good center. He's done a good job when he hasn't been hurt, but he has been hurt quite a lot.
Yes.
So
and Travis Frederick's not just a center. He's also a guard.
Yes, he did play as guard.
So he's really just an interior lineman.
He's a guy that we can
kind of move him around left guard, right spots. Guard, center.
And like we said, we needed a lineman. We really needed a tackle.
Mm-hmm. Or a guard.
But the best guys came off the board early. So as a Cowboys fan, at the pick we were at 18, we weren't going to get a valuable pick of a offensive lineman for where we were sitting. So we moved down and got an extra pick, which most people didn't want to move down, but most people also didn't want to reach that 18 pick and not have DJ Fluker on the board anymore or Chance Warmack.
Really, the only guy we were going to get at 18 was Pugh, the guy out of Syracuse, and we had talked about him on our show.
Several times.
That was a guy we all wanted, but he was a guy we wanted in the second round.
I mean, everybody wanted offensive linemen.
Five of the first ten.
Were all offensive linemen. Yeah. That's crazy. And for the first two picks to be Eric Fisher and then Lane Johnson? No, Lane Johnson came later. It was Luke Joeckel.
Yes, that's right.
Eric Fisher, Luke Joeckel, Lane Johnson just went off the board so fast. And then other teams were like, well, we need them too. So they took all the best available at their slot.
Yeah, I think the biggest surprise for me is that we didn't have the rush of taking quarterbacks until the fourth round of all things. Normally there's, what, three or four quarterbacks taken in the first
gone
round?
Gone by at least the end of the second round.
And the only one taken was E.J. Manuel in the first round. And I don't know if any were taken in the second round except for was Geno Smith in the second round? I can't remember.
Geno Smith? I think he didn't appear. Yeah, he did. He did go in the second round,
I think, with
Manti Te'o.
Yes, they went back to back. Let's see. He went, looks like, 39th. So the Jets took him 39th.
E.J. Manuel to go in the first round, I did not understand.
I didn't
expect
that either.
Because I watched him through his career and I've been impressed by the physique, his just physical look.
I think he has potential. He's not there yet, though, which doesn't. I don't think warrants
to me,
a first
you were
pick.
No better taking him than you were when the Raiders took with the first pick. What's his name?
Oh, Jamarcus Russell.
Jamarcus Russell. He's like he's like a lesser version to me of Jamarcus Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think he has the arm strength. Now, I don't want to
criticize him that much and say that he is DeMarcus Russell. Yeah.
Speaking of DeMarcus Russell, he's planning a comeback. I don't know if y'all seen the story on I think ESPN's running a special story on him right now, and he's been training with
getting his weight
Jeff
down.
Garcia, and he's got his weight down, and he's motivated and ready to come back, and there's quite a few teams
would love to
reported
see him back
that,
in the NFL.
That he could get a job as a mm-hmm. backup somewhere.
Would love to see him.
Now,
NFL,
see,
yeah.
The thing he said about E.J. Manuel, I don't think was the problem for DeMarcus Russell. He had the arm strength. He could throw it 60 yards sitting down on his butt.
Oh, yeah. DeMarcus Russell was a freak of an athlete.
Yeah.
It's the decision
He just didn't
making,
have the motivation, right. the decision making.
And it, just his work ethic wasn't
yeah.
there.
He came in as a number one pick.
I mean, he weighed 300 pounds his last season in the NFL. I mean, that's ridiculous.
As a quarterback, it's ridiculous.
He's let himself go. He didn't put work in.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now he's gained that. And we're talking way too long about DeMarcus Russell, but now he's gained that drive back because
right.
he was the number one pick. He came in thinking, oh, I'm great. I don't have to work
he's
as hard.
Lost that now.
But if we talk about, let's go back to Cowboy draft
yeah,
picks.
Yeah, definitely.
And just look at who we think the best. NFL.com graded Terrence Williams as our best pick at 83.6 from Baylor.
I do too.
But
I
also heard
steal.
Many people say that he wasn't. He played in a system that let him put up big numbers when mm-hmm. he's not as good as he is. Now, personally, I think that J.J. Wilcox from Georgia Southern at a safety was a real good pick.
Great pick there, yeah. Let's talk individual grades, both for the overall Cowboys draft and for the individual picks. Mel Kiper, not that we necessarily trust everything he has to say, but he gave the Cowboys a C+, which was one of the bottom eight lowest grades for any NFL draft team.
I think that's
team.
About right, too.
Right.
I think B minus C plus is about where the Cowboys yeah. draft.
But I also look at what we could have done, and I'm just like, we weren't put in a good situation
mm-hmm.
because our picks weren't high enough to really get the best guys, and we weren't low enough to have a whole lot of picks.
Right.
So we just kind of got these middle-of-the-pack picks that left us with whatever we could get, whatever we needed.
I will tell you what the Cowboys did do
okay.
is they gave Tony Romo a ton of help. They one, they gave him an offensive lineman, interior offensive lineman, which is great because maybe it'll give Romo maybe at least a half second longer. They gave him a tight end, and they gave him a receiver and a running back.
We were right.
That's one thing everybody keeps forgetting. Because Cowboys fans seem to think we have a good running game, but we were last in the league.
But that had a lot to do with our
injured
too.
We were
and
injured
injuries.
And injuries. Yeah. But I mean, I think that's a huge pickup getting a guy that he's never missed a game
yeah.
in his college career.
Yeah,
and
definitely a big pickup
for our starter DeMarco Murray, who's continually gets injured. I think that's a huge, huge backup, and he's not just a third down back. This is an everyday back,
right?
And so I think that was a great pickup too.
Well, you mentioned Tony Romo. Here's two things I want to say about him real quick. ESPN reported on a story that Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett have both said that Tony Romo needs to start doing Peyton Manning-like commitments to workouts and to other things
yeah.
like that, to being there from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day. Now, if I'm a Cowboys fan, which I am, but I'm not as much a Cowboys fan as like as NBA, I'm a Spurs fan. Like, I just don't bleed for the Cowboys. If I'm a guy that bleeds for the Cowboys, I want Tony Romo in there no matter what about that time. I think every quarterback in the NFL should be giving that amount of
commitment. Because it is their job. Just like all of us go to our jobs every day, it's the same thing for them. They need to put in the work to earn the money they're getting paid every day, not
especially
just
a guy
on
making
game day.
The money Tony Romo is making.
Especially now. They need to make a commitment and say, okay, we're going to pay you this money. We want the production from you.
Yeah. Sure, if you're working at McDonald's making $7 an hour, maybe you're not as dedicated and people don't really care.
Nothing against McDonald's workers.
But if you're working in the NFL making millions of dollars or any job making millions of dollars, you're expected
to perform at a very high level, like for the people that that are entrusting you with that job. Because it's not just the Cowboys organization, it's the fans too. And we provide a lot of the money for the Cowboys to do what they do, and we deserve the same production that they expect or that we should expect.
Right.
Well, let's look at Travis Frederick. What do we like about Travis Frederick? What do we don't like about Travis Frederick?
He's a Wisconsin boy, so he's big. We know that for
Eats
sure.
Eats a lot of cheese, got it really big. Now, the Dallas bloggers on ESPN.com, or ESPNDallas.com, I should say, they gave McMahon gave him a D, Watkins gave him an A, and Archer gave him a C-. So that's an average of about a C-plus there. So I personally think Travis Frederick is a great player. We read his scouting report last week. Looks like he's got a lot of upside potential to me personally. And Wisconsin players, especially on the O-line, are always really good. But I just think him not being a typical tackle or guard and starting mostly as a center, only having a few games experience as a guard his whole college career, I think that was made me a little nervous about it.
And one point you said about health earlier, it's important to note that all seven of these players mm-hmm. did not miss a single game due to injury, suspension, or anything else in 2012. So not only did we get healthy players, we also got the players that don't miss games because of suspensions, where in the past we've took the risks of having players
Tank Johnson has had some troubles
in the past or have been prone to injury through their college career.
Yeah, I like, you know, I've kind of come full circle on Travis Frederick. I started off, I was pretty angry with the Cowboys pick. I thought they jumped way too early.
Yeah, we got a few texts from you about that.
I was really mad at the draft, honestly. I'd still give it a C grade for the pick they made in the first round. I think he is a good player. I think he will help us out eventually. I don't know his immediate impact, which is usually what you're trying to get in the first round, is someone who can immediately mm-hmm. impact your team. I don't know if that's there. I think he might have a year or two to really, really be. I mean, unfortunately for him, or unfortunately for him, whichever way you want to look at it, I think he will be thrown in and will be starting this year because of the situation he's in. But, you know, doesn't have a lot of athleticism. He's just a big boy. I mean, 6'4", 312 pounds. He's just going to clog up the middle, and that's what we want from him, but I would have liked to see the Cowboys maybe get some more value than a center in the first round.
Right. Now,
I know there wasn't a lot there. Maybe they trade down. Maybe they trade up more.
Here's a question, though. Do we take a skill position guy? Because those are the kind of guys that usually go in the first round. Mm-hmm. So we still had Geno Smith and we still had Manti Te'o on the board. Should we have taken a chance maybe and got one of them, but we don't really need a quarterback.
I wouldn't have taken a chance on them. I think Travis Frederick's someone we could have gotten with our second round pick. That's the only reason I downgrade the pick. I think he's a good player. I think he's a good fit. I just think we jumped too early on him. I think first round we could have gotten a defensive lineman. I mean, there were some D linemen there.
Yes.
So how many offensive linemen were taken?
Not a lot
so
of defensive
quickly.
Players went early in the draft.
And so we could have gotten a top-notch defensive lineman at that 18th spot because of how many offensive linemen were taken. Instead, we followed trend and went below value.
Right. So what you're saying then is that Travis Frederick was a great pickup for the Cowboys,
just not at the slot that he was.
I think we could have got, you know, a top tier. You don't see the opportunity to get a top tier defensive player mm-hmm. at 18th pick, and it was there for us. We just didn't take it. We decided to follow trend with offensive linemen and mm-hmm. take someone below value.
One positive I will say though about their draft is that all the guys we got are second, third round guys. So our first round draft pick, he wasn't a first-round draft pick.
No.
But he's a second- or third-round guy. And our sixth- and seventh-round draft picks are second- and third-round guys. So we didn't get any of the big-time impact players. I'm not saying that any of these players will not be those kind of players. But the fact that we got the types of guys that we get in the second- and third-round that can actually produce is a positive note in the draft.
Yeah, I do see some talent coming out of this draft class. I don't know if we'll have any studs. I can't wait to see Terrence Williams. I think that was a great, great draft pick
getting
the Baylor wide receiver. We do not have a third receiver, and that was a problem last season. I think he could come in and post similar numbers to Laurent Robertson. If y'all remember when he was here, he put up 858 yards and 11 touchdowns. I don't know if he'll put up that many touchdowns, but I could see him maybe 600 to 800 yards, five to eight touchdowns. I think that's a realistic number for him as a rookie.
Which, as a rookie wide receiver, is great production. Let's move on real quick, though. We've got to get in the overall draft grades and picks that we saw. What do you guys think of this draft class as a whole first? Like, was it a weak draft, a strong draft? What do you think?
I want to say it's a solid draft. I think a lot of these players will be solid NFL players for years to come. Now, you're not going to have the big impact guys that come up, unless like Matt Barkley all of a sudden becomes Tom Brady or something like that. Right. You're not going to have huge impact guys. But Eric Fisher is going to be a good offensive lineman. Luke Joeckel will be a good offensive lineman for years to come, and so will Lane Johnson.
I think there were a lot of solid need position type players there. I agree with Taylor. There weren't a lot of
fireworks,
exciting Reggie Bush type players coming out, or Vince Young.
Right, I mean, you're going to see someone pop out of nowhere, and that's going to happen in every single draft. Look at Damian Lillard in the NBA. You had Tom Brady in the NFL. It happens in every draft. Somebody comes out of nowhere.
Right, that's true.
So I think it was a solid draft. I think it had a lot of depth. Like Taylor was saying, I think we're able to get guys, you know, with the 150th, 180th selection that possibly could have gone earlier in other drafts just because of its debt.
And like we said, also, what's going to be interesting about this draft is to see what happens with Geno Smith, Manti Te'o, and Matt Barkley, just to name a few. Tavon Austin was selected so high that he's not really a steal, but the other ones could have been a huge steal for their teams, especially to see Geno Smith and the quarterback drama at New York. And just everything surrounding that, with New York actually coming out today and saying that all five quarterbacks are competing for the starting position, including
Matt Sims, of all people.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy, and that's going to be a fiasco. And I hate to see Geno Smith be thrust into that position right off the bat.
Yeah.
But that's looking like what it's going to be. But as we're talking about overall draft grades, what do you think about Eddie Lacy, the Alabama running back, not being the first running back taken and going to the Packers at 61st?
Dropping all the way to the 61st pick. I think that's a steal for the Packers. They needed
a running back.
They needed a running back, and especially a running back that was a consistent blocker and could really plug up those lines that sometimes have some stuff happen. They do a lot of play action in Green Bay, and I think running back has been a really inconsistent part ever since Aaron Rodgers took over the team.
I mean, that's been their weakness. Yeah. As far as, I mean, defense has been a weakness too.
And O-line.
But as far as offensive capabilities, their running game has been abysmal.
Dismal, yeah.
I mean, it's just been horrible over the years.
Now, what do you think about the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, going at 69th to the Cardinals?
I think it's a good value. Now, the Cards have said that his contract won't even be guaranteed. So I think that's a very safe move. I think it's great for both Mathieu and the Cardinals. They've wasted a lot of money on a lot of people recently. Like, they just today released a linebacker that they paid $17 million to, signed a $17 million extension to, and they released him after 1 year. So we've seen a lot of bad moves from the Cards, whether it's picking up a whole bunch of bad quarterbacks the last few seasons, coaching maybe not being the best. I mean,
ever since Kurt Warner, it was gone. That franchise has just been dismal since that Super Bowl appearance.
I like the pickup. I would have liked to see. I would have liked to see the Cowboys take a chance on him.
I would have liked to see it. But the Cowboys did make a very safe draft. And speaking of the Cowboys draft, we talked several times about Kenny Vaccaro, who went 16th to the Saints. Now my question is: had he fallen to 18th, would you have liked to see them pick him up instead of make that trade for the more picks? Do you think we would have been better off getting Vaccaro at 18, or getting Frederick like we did later on in the draft and picking up an extra pick?
I think we did what we could do, like the best situation there. I don't think we should have wasted a first-round pick on Kenny Vaccaro. I think
I know 16th, a lot of Cowboys fans were not a big fan of Vaccaro. If we would have taken Vaccaro,
I wouldn't have been.
I never was impressed with Vaccaro, to be honest with you guys. I just never thought he was. I mean, maybe a second-round grade in my opinion, but
yeah.
I think we did what was there. I would have liked to see us pick a defensive lineman at that 18th spot, but if it were between Frederick or Vaccaro, then I think I'd take Frederick, because Frederick also adds that extra third-round pick, which gives us J.J. Wilcox or Terrence Williams, depending on who they would have picked there. So losing one of those guys would have hurt.
Right. Well, let's, real quick, before we take a quick break and come back, give me your best draft team and your worst draft team.
Easily the Rams. They picked up so many weapons to help Sam Bradford. If he doesn't produce now, then it's going to be some trouble for him. Mm-hmm. I think worst draft pick, I would say Oakland.
Okay.
Just picking up Tyler Wilson at 112, and Tyler Wilson was not a guy to me that needed to be picked up
ever.
if ever. Yeah. Oakland's just had bad picks.
Yeah, I mean,
they just had
bad
drafts over and over. But the Chiefs had a very good draft too, even though I would have said they should have taken Luke Jokel over Eric Fisher. Mm-hmm. I mean, they probably saw something I didn't. So I got to say that I got to hand it to the Chiefs too. But overall, the Rams easily trading up to pick up Tavon Austin and getting several other good weapons for Sam Bradford.
Right.
I would say I'd agree with Taylor's best draft with the Rams.
Okay.
As far as the worst goes, man, probably just the Jets. I think that team is just a mess all around.
Yeah.
They just really everything about the Jets just kind of grosses me out. And I just I don't mind Geno Smith as a player. I think he has some potential, but he's not going to do anything in New York. I think that's a bad
fit. He would have been much better suited for Philadelphia or to be a backup somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. Even Jacksonville, just go somewhere like where Cam Newton went, where you have a chance to either start or learn from somebody that plays like you. But in the Jets, if he doesn't come out starting and he's going to be fighting for this position right off the bat, he would have been so much better off going somewhere where they're like, yes, we drafted you as our starting quarterback.
And people love the Jets draft, and I just did not like that.
Right. Okay, well, I'm going to just finish off the segment real quick. I think, here's a surprise for you, I think the Ravens had an incredible draft. They got a whole bunch of picks, really improved and filled holes that they lost in free agency.
You actually definitely saw both lost. Super Bowl teams have good
drafts. Yeah, 49ers had an incredible draft,
too.
That's
probably why they're in the Super Bowl.
So. Yeah, and I think my worst draft has to go to Buffalo. The EJ Manuel pick and several other picks all throughout the draft.
A crazy pick with EJ
Buffalo Manuel. Went insane. I was not impressed with Buffalo, and there's a reason.
But what if that pans out? I mean,
then you're going to say it's one of the
of the riskiest best picks ever.
Even not counting EJ Manuel, though, their draft was terrible.
Yeah.
And there's a reason that Buffalo has been the third New York team for as long as I can remember.
Right. But that's why we call these projections, because until, you know, really
until they step on the field, you don't know.
3 to 5 years from now, we have no idea how good this draft was. Cowboys might have the best draft in, you know, 10 years. Who knows? So we'll,
that's true.
You know, we'll really see in 3 to 5 years.
Yeah. Well, we'll come back in 3 to 5 years then if we're still around and discuss.
let you know.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and talk Jason Collins, the player that came out recently, is the first active NBA player that's gay, and we'll finish off with the NBA playoffs, and we'll give you a little bit of note on Danny Mason, the A&M Commerce player that we thought should have been drafted. We'll be back. This is KETR's Locker Room.
Barbecue. Hey, it's Matt from Notably Texan. I hope you'll join me tonight on the program. I've got new music by the fabulous Thunderbirds, Steve Martin and Edie Burkell, and Bob Schneider I'll play for you. Plus the Backyard Barbecue feature at 7 with special guests Casting Shadows joining me in studio. They're an up-and-coming band from right here in Commerce. Notably Texan starts tonight at 6, only on your station, 88.9 KETR.
This is KETR's Locker Room that you're listening to. Cooper Welch, Taylor Phelps, and Ryan Billups. All right, guys, we're back, and now we're going to talk first Jason Collins, who, as we said earlier in the show, came out on Monday as the first active NBA player to be gay. So first, guys, should he have waited, or is this the right time to come out?
I really think he should have waited. There's been multiple retired players in major sport to have come out as gay. But you haven't seen a player. And so right now he's a retired player because he's in free agency. And so right now he's just like the other guys. I think if he really wanted to make his stance, which is what he was trying to do, then he should have waited to actually be on a team. So then he could have got, you know.
And his agent actually said that originally that they talked about him waiting. But also I think that even that would have caused a little more controversy with him not coming out and then saying immediately after that he was. Maybe that would have, he said he wanted to be truthful and be honest when he went into this free agent period.
Which is definitely fair to the team.
Which is definitely fair. And to do that just shows what kind of man he is and that he's letting everyone know his situation so that they're actually getting Jason Collins who he really is instead of, you know, him beating around the bush and coming out later and causing massive drama for a franchise. undeserved as it may be, but you know the media is going to cover that like crazy.
Oh, yeah,
and be in that locker room. So it's kind of letting the onslaught come on now, mm-hmm. and then hopefully he'll be able to join a team and just be an NBA player.
So do you guys think that he'll be able to join a team?
His career statistics are not that great.
Let's say he wouldn't have come out. Would he have made a team?
I don't think he would have been signed either way.
And that's the point I've been trying to make is I don't think he would have been signed even if he wouldn't have come out.
Well, he's 34 years old, and he plays the center position not like it's being played now. Today you see such a fast-paced game, mm-hmm. and your centers are out on the perimeter so much. He's just older. He only averaged like 3 points and three rebounds over his career, but he's always been a great teammate in the locker room. Mm-hmm. So he's always been someone that has increased the play of his team just through his sportsmanship and his relationship with the other players.
Right.
Now, whether he be signed for his talents or for that reason, I don't know. But I think he would have been signed. I don't think he would have played a lot of minutes.
Right.
But he would have been on a roster.
Okay. So what about now? Do you think he'll be signed now?
I still think he'll be signed. I think that the drama will end. It'll start up again once the season starts.
And once he's signed by a team,
you'll see it start up again.
Right.
But I think there's teams out there that are willing to risk it. I think teams that aren't very good. Now, I don't think you're going to see like the Miami Heat sign him, or you're going to see, because they already have the players they need.
You'll
they're not
see
gonna
a
need to take on a risk.
Or
but you'll
a
see
Wizards
a Bobcats or a Wizards or maybe yeah. even a Minnesota or somebody like that.
Someone who only has to gain.
Sacramento. Somebody that's...
They're not getting him to be a piece for their team.
And mm-hmm. they're not getting him as a publicity center either. They're getting him because he's a good veteran player.
A good leader in the locker room,
like yeah. you said. Now, will it cause any drama between players? I don't know. A lot of players have come out on Twitter and talked about how they're supporting him mm-hmm. and they like his decision. In fact, you've seen actually more scrutiny come upon those that have questioned him coming out
yeah.
than he himself has. But I think that it'll be different once he's in the locker room. Once he's in the locker room with the players, I think we'll definitely see some differences.
Yeah, right. I don't think he would have been picked up before, but I think there's a chance he'll be picked up now.
All right. Well, we'd like to talk more about this, but we got to cover the playoffs before we end this segment today. We've only got about 2 minutes left. So, how are they going the way you expected? What's happened?
Right now they are. I mean, San Antonio and Miami advancing. I think those are the two best teams. Russell Westbrook being injured for OKC has hurt them, and definitely the only reason I think that Houston was able to squeeze a game out. But Kevin Durant's elevated his play, and the rest of the series are kind of gridlocked. I think the biggest surprise is Golden State. But
yeah.
you can also attribute that to...
Which we predicted that series, but after the injury, we kind of backed
off. Yeah, David Lee being gone, I was like... Whoa.
But Denver just is not the same team, and they just can't score at mm-hmm. the same clip that the Warriors can. It's just Stephen Curry has elevated his game to a whole new level, being considered by many as like a top 10 player in the league.
At least shooter.
And especially in this injury-prone year we've seen with players like Rajon Rondo and Kobe Bryant and Derrick Rose not coming out and everybody being hurt, that he's really elevated his game to be one of the best players in the league.
Yeah, I think my biggest surprise is the Pacers-Hawks series. I thought the Pacers would have no trouble with the Hawks.
And it's tied at 2-2
now. Their series is 2-2 now. Another notable series is Clippers and Memphis. They're both 2-2 as well.
Yeah, I expected that one.
And we expected that one. And then another notable is Chicago Bulls and Nets. The Bulls are up 3-2. So who do you guys think will win that series?
The Bulls. I think the Bulls got it at home, yeah. especially Kirk Heinrich didn't play last game, and his defense is so elevated.
Right.
The team over Brooklyn. Brooklyn's just not that good to me. Chicago's more of a team. They play more together. They play great defense. And Nate Robinson's playing out of his mind right
yeah,
now.
I mean, he's always been a good player, but he's been a backup point guard the last 6 years.
He's winning games by himself. Right
Another now. Player that's elevated his game is Jarrett Jack for the Golden State Warriors,
yeah,
looking
yes.
as like a potential player for maybe even the Mavericks to pursue in free agency mm-hmm. coming into this next year as a starting point guard.
Now, Jarrett Jack had been a third string point guard on San Antonio at one point. Not that he's not a good player, but as the system at San Antonio works, he just didn't fit in that well.
Yeah, he just wasn't
but
up there.
Golden State's shoot first, we don't really care about anything else, offense and defense, really.
Yeah.
I think he really fits that model.
So and, if Chicago makes it to this next round, do we see a reappearance?
No. Derrick Rose is done. There's no way.
Unless they were up 2-0 on the Heat, he doesn't come back.
Okay.
I don't see any reason to bring him back. I would scrutinize Chicago if they did, because I don't think they're going to win a championship this year regardless. Even if they make it to the third round, if they somehow beat Miami, I don't think they could get past the Knicks. And then to beat the Spurs, and to be honest, I think the Spurs are going to easily make it now with OKC.
And that was going to be my next question, is what happens to the Thunder now? What do we see happen in the West?
The Thunder are going to have a very hard time with Memphis, who I think will win that game, win that series. Even if LA wins it, they're still going to have a very tough time, because Memphis just shares the ball so well. And the biggest thing you saw Houston do last night is they have the formula to beat the Thunder. All you have to do is double the ball out of Durant's hands and never let him do anything, and the rest of the team's not going to beat you. That's the thing. Once you double Durant, Houston was up 6 or 8 points until they let Durant have the ball, and then he would make a miraculous shot or drive to the basket. Just don't let the ball touch his hands and double team it out of his hands every time he gets it. Which is easier said than done, but also it just ruins the whole flow for the Thunder when he doesn't touch it.
So what are your new predictions? Western Conference Finals, Eastern Conference Finals?
That's a good question. I think it's going to be San Antonio and Memphis in the Conference Finals, and it's going to be Miami and I think New York still in the East.
I'm the same as Cooper. I think that's what, and Memphis is out on a limb, but you know, you got to take some chances.
Right. I'm going to see, I think the Spurs will advance, and I think the Thunder are still going to advance.
Wow, okay.
Durant is just so good.
Right.
And I see them going maybe a 6-game
series.
And
Ibaka's playing at a whole new level, too.
And so I think the Spurs win that series with the Thunder, and they face the New York Knicks in the finals.
So you're sticking with your original pick.
I think the Knicks beat the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay, what about you?
They got to get through Indiana, though, and that's still a...
I want the Knicks to advance, but I'm still going to pick Miami, and I'm still going to pick San Antonio, and I think that's going to be a pretty nice series to watch.
Right.
Who wins it?
Oh.
San Antonio just has been so long, and they have so many weapons, and they're pretty healthy right now, so I think San Antonio is going to be able to knock off. I would love it.
I'd be going crazy. But I just think Miami's so good.
It's such a tears you apart, because you want to root against Miami, us from Texas, and having the rivalry with Miami, but they're just so good. And LeBron is such a good player.
Yeah, and that's also going to be not a fun series for Mavericks fans to watch, because it's two teams that they hate.
That we both.
Yes.
So not many ratings.
Probably
here
the two
Dallas.
Most hated teams for the Mavericks. Yeah, will be
that is why I'll
off.
Be rooting for the New York Knicks.
Yeah, all right.
Finals.
I got no beef with the Knicks.
They've been irrelevant for so long.
Right, except they stole Tyson Chandler and Jason Kidd from you guys.
They did.
And it's funny when you watch these playoffs, how many ex-Mavericks from the championship team are on the teams. When you have, like you said, Tyson Chandler, Jason Kidd, Deshaun Stevenson's on the Hawks, I think. Yeah. It's just crazy.
We shot ourselves in the foot, and Mavericks
and
fans.
Devin Harris.
Mavericks fans know that. We shot ourselves. We lost those players due to our own ignorance. Now we can look back and say ignorance. At the time, we thought it was a good move, but LA's got swept by the Spurs, so I can't wait to see what's going to happen with Dwight Howard this offseason.
Yeah, I think it's going to all be exciting. We'll cover more of this on the Friday show, and then next week, of course, there's going to be all sorts of developments in the playoffs with call-ins, with the NFL, Rangers. We haven't even talked about them yet. So be sure to get the Friday episode. It'll be out Friday at 5.
Watch you, Darvish, get us off our skid.
Yeah, let's hope that happens. All right, this has been KETR's Locker Room. I'm Cooper Welch.
I'm Taylor Phelps.
And Ryan Billups.
See you on Friday. Mm-hmm.